And the Lord has put in my spirit to share something very, very important, which I believe we will be praying about after now. I'd like you to please let your heart and the spirit man be opened to what God is going to be doing, is going to be speaking about to us. Tonight, I'm not just going to be talking to you. God is sending his word, the word of deliverance, the word of liberation, the word that is going to bring the freedom of the Holy Spirit, the freedom of the Lord Jesus to everyone who will be under this teaching tonight. We are going to be looking at destroying the yoke of religious spirit. Destroying the yoke of religious spirit. That's what the Lord has laid on my heart to share tonight. Destroying the yoke of religious spirit. I want you to say it out loud and clear, destroying the yoke of religious spirit. Destroying the yoke of religious spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this is quite important for us tonight. I'd like us to open our Bible to the book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy rather, chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'd like you to come with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'd like you to come with me there to verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And then verse 5. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Having a form of godliness, but denying, I like you to see the word denying. Having a form of godliness, having a form of spirituality, but denying is a continuous thing. But denying its power. But denying its power. He said, turn away from such people. Turn away from such people. Before I bring us into other scriptures that the Lord will have us to look at in order to understand his dealings in destroying the yoke of religious spirit tonight, I want to bring you to an understanding very quickly. And I want this to settle in the heart of every one of us. Put it in your heart as we begin to understand what God is dealing with tonight. I want to make a statement. And the statement I want to make is this. Everywhere or anywhere you see what is not original, what deceives you, that is original, but it is not original, it always look like the original. Please, I want that to rest in your heart. Anytime you see what deceives you, you are looking for something that is original. But at the end of the day, maybe you have purchased that equipment. You have purchased that commodity. You have purchased that item. And you realize that it is not original. But what you are looking for is original. You are going to realize that that which you have purchased gives you an impression that it looks like original. So that deception to get something that is not original always come in the look of original. That is what religious spirit is all about. Please take note. You need to understand this from the beginning. There is a difference between religious spirit and spirituality. There is a difference between being religious and being spiritual. And don't forget what God is calling us to in this month is turn for the supernatural. God wants us to turn to the supernatural. God wants us to experience his own reality, not his form. God wants us to experience him. He wants us to have experiential experience of him in Christ. And if this is going to happen, it is quite important that we understand that there is what we call what looks like original. But it is not original. What looks like original that has not allowed many people, especially many so-called believers and Christians, to get the originality of God, to get the reality of God, is what we call religious spirit. That's what we call religious spirit. And if you are quickly, concluding to think that, is this message for me? What is the significance of this message for me? Let me quickly also establish to you that the most terrible battle of your life as a Christian is not just the devil, is a religious spirit. It's a kind of a spirit that gives you the form of God, but not the reality of God. This is what many have settled for. This is the reason it looks like there is no experience of God in our lives. Many have settled for what is called the form of God. They have settled for religion. in the name of having the reality of God. And every time, anywhere, any family, any life, any community, any people, where religious spirit prevails, there cannot be reality of God. Anywhere you see religious spirit, one of the things, because what we are dealing with tonight is for us to come by the help of the Holy Spirit into understanding whether you, whether myself, that spirit, and for you to also understand that spirit, what they look like. Because if you don't understand the signs, the traits, the manifestations of religious spirit, you won't be able to destroy that yoke on your life. So it's quite important. Many in the church, many in the body of Christ, they don't know the difference between being religious and being spiritual. But I've come to announce to you tonight that God has not called us to religion. God has called us to being spiritual. When we were saved, for those who have been saved in Christ Jesus, you were saved into becoming spiritual. That's why the salvation of the Lord Jesus makes us to become spiritual people. People of the Spirit of God, they are the people we call spiritual people. People that have the real essence, the real nature, the real being of God. The Bible says God is a spirit. So God is not religious. God is not into ritualistic activities. God is real. God is a spirit. And he says those who worship him must worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. So that tells you something very quickly before we look into what God is putting before us tonight. And do you know what God is putting before us? Is that when we have religious spirit binding on us, religious spirit affecting us, that spirit disconnect us from connecting truly with God. Are you together with me, please? I want all your attention to be here. Call your attention to this message because you will need it. Please go and sit down. Call your attention so that you will be able to get it. Let me tell you something. There is nothing that is as terrible as claiming that God exists. God is. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, God is. God is. God is. God not just was. God not just to come or to be, but God is. There is God. God exists. Jesus is alive. So there is a reality of this that we can come into. And until we come into the reality of the living Jesus, that God is, not God who used to be, not Jesus who is going to come, but Jesus who is present. You know, when Moses was going to Egypt, he asked God, who will I say to them, send me? God said to Moses, tell them that I am. Not I was. Not I am going to be. I am. When God was saying to Moses that I am sent you, he was saying to Moses, tell them I am the God they can experience. I am the God that is real. I am the God that they can have an encounter with. I am the God that they can touch. I am the God that they can know that I am. And you are going to agree with me that when Moses was going to embark on that mission to Egypt, as he got there, they began to demand also for that God who sent you. And all through the time when Moses was going to bring the children of Israel out, he demonstrated that God is. Let me tell you this. A true Christian life, a true spiritual life, a spiritual person in Christ Jesus is the one who can demonstrate with his life, with his character, with happiness in around that person that Jesus is. This is what is lacking in our generation. We have become believers that cannot show that Jesus is. And you are going to agree with me that anywhere you go to, anywhere you appear, there is a demand on your life. Satan himself is demanding on your life that Jesus you claim to know, that Jesus you said has saved you, show him. Thank you, Lord. Are you together with me? So, in the early church, this was what made the difference between the believers of the first century church and the present day church. The first century church, they were believers who were able to make Jesus that is to be known. Please, are you together with me? I don't like your distraction. I have prayed against this. I don't mind, you know, the numbers of people here. I want you to get it. Please get it. Please get it. So there is a demand on your Christian life every day. The reason you are saved, the reason I am saved in Christ Jesus is not to be religious. It's that there is a demand. The world wants to know that the Jesus you have, the Jesus that I have, is it Jesus of wars? Is it Jesus of to come? Or is it Jesus that is? Is it Jesus that can be revealed? Is it Jesus that can be known? Is it Jesus that manifests himself? So why is it that in our time, it looks like for many of us, as Christians, as believers, the version of Jesus we are presenting to our generation is a Jesus that looks unreal. Is a Jesus that has been buried and that is not alive. Do you know why? When you come back to that 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5. Look at what it says. Having a form of godliness. What is the meaning of godliness? Godliness means God in the inside. Everyone that have the Spirit of God, everyone that have God, everyone that has been saved, that has been born again, has become godly. You have God in your inside. Say, I have God in my inside. Yeah. That is godliness. It's a mystery. The mystery of godliness, the Bible says, is a mystery that God manifests himself in the flesh. It's a mystery that God can reveal himself through man. That was what happened when Jesus came to the earth. Jesus manifested God in the inside. Our generation is waiting for those who will manifest God in the inside. The carriers of God. When you are walking, God is walking. When you are talking, God is talking. In the work of your hand, when you are walking, God is walking. That is godliness. That in everything that you do, everything about your life manifests God. Oh, you didn't get that. Let me tell you, if everything about my life does not manifest God, that there is Jesus, that Jesus is alive. If people cannot see a living Jesus in my life, look at what my life is doing, that the Jesus is not real. Jesus is not alive. It's godliness. God in the inside. But look at the scripture we are looking at. He now said, because you need to catch me from here. He now said, there are people who have the form. The word form there is like the word appearance. They look like it. When you look at them, a moment they appear before you, you say, that sister looks godly. That brother looks godly. Some people will even appear. I have met some people that I would think, is this person a pastor? The brother will look like a pastor until he begins to misbehave. I don't know if you have met some people like that. I have met some people that have asked, sir, are you a pastor? And you say, I'm not a pastor. Which pastor? He looks like it. He has the form. He has the posture. One of my sisters in the Lord recently posted something on the Facebook with AI. You know this AI and AI, you know, artificial intelligence, this picture. And what she put on was a soldier cloth. That is what AI did. And you know, when people were commenting on that, they were saying, wow, sister, you look very good in this. When did you go to army? She looks like it. That is what artificial intelligence has done. Science has put that cloth on her. But in reality, she's not. So form is how you appear, that in reality you are not. Oh, do you understand? Now, when you are in school, we have what is called uniform. We have seen a movie, one of Mount Zion's movie, that a particular lady was sent on a mission to a school to go and carry out a mission of apprehending a young man. I don't know whether you remember that movie. You remember that movie? And she put on the uniform of that school. Now, when that lady entered, who will know that lady is not in that school? Why won't they know? She has put on the form. That is universal, unity, united, that brings them together. But in the reality, that lady came there, carry out an assignment. In the reality, she has the form that in the reality, she's not. Do you have a form of a Christian, but in reality you are not? That's the matter before us. That's the reason. The power of God. That's the reason. The move of God is stalled in our time. Because of many forms that are springing up every day, but in reality, they are not. Are you getting that? 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5. So he said, they have. So it is possible to have a form of who you are not. You can pretend to be gentle when you are not. You can pretend to be somebody who is honest when you are not. You can pretend to be an angel of light. The Bible even says that Satan himself changes his own form to an angel of light. He is not angel of light. He is darkness. But there is a form, because he knows that the most deceptive, the most dangerous, the most potent weapon is a form. Many have entered into the trap of agents of the devil that have come in the form of the children of light. And by the time they were going to realize, it is too late. So I want this matter to settle in your heart, that if it is not possible to have a form of godliness, it won't be written in the Bible. Are you understanding? So that tells you that there are people that have settled in the state of form of godliness. So you have those who are really godly, and you have those who have the form. And when both of them are together, hardly can you recognize. Because somebody who comes with the form is also behaving like those who really are godly. My wife and I went out today on an evangelism, on a mission trip, mission outreach. We got to some set of people. She began to minister to them. And it got to a moment, a brother needed to just stop her and say, "Ma, I want to ask a question." When the word of God was affecting that brother. And the brother said, "Ma, see all this you are saying, I am tired of the church. I have seen a lot of deception. I have seen a lot of deception. I just want to remain on my own to know the difference between right and wrong and just keep to myself." And he began to give us instances of how many pastors, how many prophets, how many people have come up in the name of the Lord, but at the end of the day, they were found to be false. So the problem, the battle we are contending with in our time now is not primarily or ultimately darkness in the cloth of darkness. What we are contending with is darkness in the cloth of light. So, there is a need anywhere the gospel of Jesus will thrive. Anywhere you will see the glory of God manifesting around you, there is a need to destroy the religious spirit, the yoke of religious spirit. Don't get disconnected. So come back to that 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5 before I begin to mention certain things. So we have looked at having a form of godliness. So for the fact that I appear to be godly does not make me to be godly. For the fact that I appear to be prayerful does not make me to be a prayerful person. I don't know whether you understand that. For the fact that I dress with color, I speak in tongues. For the fact that I talk about the things of God, I can quote the Bible, does not mean that I am godly. I can just be a person who is having a form of what? Godliness. So, let's settle it now. Religious spirit is having a form of godliness. Do you get that? You are not answering me. Yeah. That's it. They have the form of godliness. Now, look at the part B of that scripture. He now says, but denying its power. I want to call your attention to something. That tells you this, and let this sink into your spirit, man. Godliness carries power. Say that loud and clear. Godliness carries power. Do you hear that? Yeah. So that tells us that the form, so what now looks godly that is not real can have the form, but we lack the power. So how do we know the difference between religious spirit and being spiritual? It is the power of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to live that godly life, the power to manifest that God, the power to manifest Christ is what makes you spiritual. The form does not make you spiritual. It is the power of godliness that makes you spiritual. Because form does not have power, but reality of godliness comes with what? Power. So, a powerless Christian is a religious Christian. A believer who lacks the power to live the life of Christ, the life of God, who does not have the power, he may talk about it, he may preach about it, he may have seminary certificate, he might even be a provost, a professor, a superintendent in the seminary where they teach about godliness, but he himself does not have the power to manifest that godliness. So anywhere you see religious spirit, people talk about Jesus, people talk about God, but they lack the power to show him. They talk about be righteous, but they lack the power to live a righteous life. They talk about be holy. They will even say it, they will even quote it for you. But in the real sense of it, they themselves lack the power to live a holy life. I hope that is not the reality of your life and my life. I hope you and I, we are not having a form of godliness that is prevailing in our time. I hope there is power in your life to show that God, that Christ that is in you. Oh, thank you, Father. Now, what was the command in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5? Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. What did he now say should happen? From such, turn away. Oh my God. Who are the such? That's a question. Who are the such that is saying turn away from them? They are religious people that are under the control of religious spirit. They can be a denomination, a church denomination, and many people in that denomination, they are under the influence of religious spirit. In that denomination, the word of God is saying, turn away. If you have a friend who have a form, when he appears before people, he looks like a saint, looks very godly, but denying means living in a way that is completely contrary to the form he's showing you. He said, from that friend, turn away. You know why? It's a spirit that is contagious. Religious spirit is a spirit that drags people to a point that they think all is well with them spiritually, while they are seriously sick spiritually. When you move to them, they will tell you, I'm okay. When you even want to help them and say you need to be helped, they tell you, I don't need help. I am fine. You know why? They tell you they are fine because they look at other people who are outside, who have not come to the fold. So they tell you, if you are looking for people to preach to, why not go to the street and preach to those who are in the beer parlor that have never been in the church? But how many people are in the church that after leaving the church, they go to the beer parlor? How many people that are in the church, after leaving the church, they go home to beat their wives? How many preachers, after they have preached, when they return home, even from the car, they start insulting their wives, beating their own wives? And when you are following such a man that has that form but denying the power, he said, turn away. There was a particular senior pastor when I was some years back in a place of my service. We traveled to the same place. We were sent to a place in Port Harcourt to go and represent the institute that sent us. And we got there, and this is somebody I could call daddy. This is somebody I could call and look and say, oh, daddy. And he called me, because as at that time, we normally have 3 days marathon fast every month in that place, in that place of ministry service. So all the staff and the student pastors, they are expected to have it for 3 days. So it is in the midst of this, we were sent to Port Harcourt for a mission. And we got there and we met on a Saturday. The fasting normally begin on Friday and end on Sunday after service. So we met on Saturday, and he called me, he said, Sulola. I said, sir. He said, I know you will be fasting.
He said, me, I'm not doing any fasting. I don't do their fast. I will eat. If you like, go there. When you get back, go and tell them that I am eating. So, you realize, I don't know whether you are getting something. If you, you know, he said, will I go back and say this is what? And when he returns, he appears like somebody who is form, who is, that is religious spirit. He said, from such, because if you don't turn, they will infect you. Many of us have been infected. Our fire has been going down. The fervency for God has been going down. That began when we begin to face, begin to embrace people with religious spirit. And they tell you, are you, why are you radical? Are you a fanatic? Is Jesus as hard as this? Are you the only one that has ever known the Lord? And they even make you to know that you are the one that is religious. I don't know whether am I communicating? And somehow they tell you, why should you say no to sin? Certain things are wisdom. When you lie, they say, I just use wisdom to lie. And next time, when you are also in such a situation, you use their wisdom. Miss Patience, are you with me? You just say, oh, sister, so use this kind of wisdom. She called lying wisdom. And you also get to that situation and you use lying and substitute lying to mean wisdom. So 2 Timothy 3:5 says, from such turn away. Before we round off now, come with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. Because our umbrella focus for the equipping service is walking in the reality of the supernatural. Walking in the reality of the supernatural. And you cannot walk in the reality of the supernatural until religious spirit loses its power on you. Tonight, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. Religious spirit loses its power on your life. Religious spirit loses its influence on your life. Tonight, I destroy the yoke of religious spirit upon your life. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'd like you to look at. Let's look at verse 14 now. He said, instead, their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil, oh my God, the same word, veil, between religious spirit and being truly spiritual in Christ is a veil. The difference between people who have religious spirit and those who have the manifestation of the life of the Holy Spirit in them, who are living, really living the life of the Spirit, is that they are no longer veiled. You know what is called veil? Veil is like a blanket, like a mantle that is used to cover a face that you will not be able to see the originality, the identity of who is inside. He So many are serving God with veils. Oh my God. Spiritual veils. They go to church every day to go and look for the Lord they have never known. And yet they are satisfied. They enter the church with veil. They read their Bible every day with veil. They sing with veil. They pray with veil. They are living their Christian life with veil. And they have never come into the reality of who God is, of who Jesus is. There is no practical example, experience. They have not seen. They have not really encountered. They have the form. There is a veil upon them. Mando baraka teke peledia. Sheda bande le copa. Rite kepena poratosa. Roshena barada. Okobada baleke telebia. Any demonic veil here. Any demonic blanket here. Covering the mind. Oh, of anyone under the sound of my voice. Lebakate legedoba. Eredeba lakotosa. Oh, from experiencing the reality of Jesus. From experiencing the reality of the law, any blanket, any demonic veil that has not allowed anyone under the sound of my voice to have a personal experience with the Lord, the veil is taken away. 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 In the name of Jesus. Oh my God. Before we pray, I don't know whether you have been able to enter into something tonight. He said, their minds were blinded. What does religious spirit has to do with the mind? Because it is with the mind you relate. You perceive, you think, you evaluate their minds. But let me tell you something deeper. Their hearts are blinded. What is the significance of the blindness? Let there be a barrier between them and the real experience they need to have with God. I don't want to go around too far anymore. I want to eat something and we pray. He said, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the old covenant. The same veil. The veil which was done away with in Christ. Oh my God, you don't get that. Not the veil which was done away with. The veil which was done away in. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, something happened to the veil of the temple. The veil of the temple between the holy place and the holiest of holies and all that, torn into the two. Torn from the top, torn apart. What happened that day on the cross is that Jesus destroyed religious spirit. Jesus terminated a kind of a life that want to get close to God with a veil. A life that cannot see God very clearly. A life that cannot experience, that cannot tell you this is who God is. And when you see my life, that is the life. A life that is very comfortable with somebody telling you about God, but you yourself, you don't press to know him. Jesus on the cross by his own body, torn the veil. Jesus on the cross destroyed religious spirit. That now access is given for as many that want to really know God firsthand. Access is given for as many that want to be so intimate with God. Access is given for as many who are not going to be comfortable with a form, but yet they are defeated in the reality. Oh my God. You must not waste that access. Jesus is not going to do it again. He has already done it. He has taken away the veil. And tell you, sister, don't allow any form to barricade your eyes. God wants you to be as close as you can ever. God wants you to touch him. God wants you to experience him. God wants to have intimate relationship. God wants to manifest himself through your life, that when people look at you, they will say, God is inside of Mommy Dominion. Do you see what happened to the apostles? That they wanted to worship them. And they said, these are gods that have come down in the form of men. They were looking at them. These were men who were not religious anymore because they saw. Why are we like this? Why are we satisfied with religion? Religion denies us of the real power accessible to us by Christ, in Christ, in God. I want to have that. I want to lay hold on God. I am not satisfied with a form. I want to lay hold on him. You must make up your mind that you are done with a religious spirit. Oh, I have just gone to a 6 a.m. mass, 6 a.m. service, and after that you 6 a.m. mass, satisfied. And the rest of that Sunday, Satan and sin still battered your life. 6 a.m. mass, 1 hour, and all that, and after that time, you enter into a dimension of lawlessness. A life that does not have anything to show that Christ is in you. What are you talking about? You are talking about a religion. In religion, there is no power. There is only a form. There is what just look like it. God is looking for people who will press beyond the religious spirit. People are tired and saying, I want the yoke of religious spirit to be destroyed, to be terminated in our lives, in our land, in our churches, in our territories. We don't want religious spirit anymore. Please take note, verse 16. Verse 15. He said, when Moses is read, the veil is now where? In their hearts. Now, let me tell you something. When you are converted, when you are regenerated, it is your heart that is converted. Yeah. You cannot carry an old heart into a new Christ. Heart is different from mind. Yes. Heart has to do with your spirit. That which connects you to God is your heart. So when that which connects you to God, there is a veil on it. Are you connected to God? No. So there are many that religious spirit has put a veil. Where? In their hearts. Verse 16.
Nevertheless, when anyone turns to the Lord, when anyone turns to the Lord, and I want you to take note here, when anyone turns to the Lord, what happened? The veil is removed. Why? Because that is what the Lord has done on the cross. You cannot be free from the torment of religious spirit until you turn to Jesus. Until you really want to know Jesus personally, experientially. Until you are tired of just a form and you say, I'm turning to the Lord. Now, verse 17. Look at what it says. Verse 17. Now, the Lord is... Is it the form? Now the Lord is what? The Spirit. It is the Spirit that makes you spiritual. So that word there is saying, when anyone turns to the Spirit, he becomes spiritual. He becomes spiritual. Let me end with this. What are the signs that you can look for in religious people with religious spirit? What are the signs? What are the signs? What are the signs? Number one sign, religious people are not open to the new instruction of God. Religious people under religious spirit, they are not open to something new that the Lord is calling them to. They are always loved to stay in the old. They want to remain where God is saying, move past this. That's number one. They don't want to receive the new thing. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone be in Christ, is a new, there is a new with God. In Isaiah chapter 43, that word is saying, behold, I will do a new thing, and it will spring forth. God always wants to do a new thing. So God is calling his people to a new thing. Religious people, they don't want to step into a new thing. When Jesus came, Pharisees, they were religious people with a religious spirit. They could not step in. They rejected Jesus because for them, they have to stay where God has moved away from. Do you understand that? So you must be a believer who is open to a dimension that the Lord is calling you to. You must not be satisfied at a level that is limiting in God. That is what it means. You must be somebody, a believer, who wants to come to the height that God has made available for you. That God has made available for you. Religious people. Number two sign that I want you to see about religious people is that they are people who choose to live their life from their flesh, from their minds, not from the spirit. They set their minds on the things of the flesh. They are limited. They don't want to believe that, see, I need to press. God is a spirit. I want to press into the dimension of God. Religious spirit, we say, reason about this. Just reason it out. But true spiritual people, they reason through the word of God. Their reasoning is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who teaches them how to reason. They reason in the spirit. Reasoning in the spirit means you are reasoning in the word of God. Is somebody together with me? That's the sign. Religious people, they do things from the flesh, from their minds, from the flesh. Number three, religious people, they deny the practicality of the word of God. They deny it. They deny the practicality. They can talk about it, but they don't live like it. They deny it. They deny it. Religious people are also selective people in the things of God. When you see people with a religious spirit, they tell you they can accept this that Jesus has said, in as much it satisfies their flesh. But those things that God is calling them to that are core, they will remove them. You know why Jesus was saying to the Pharisees that why do you focus on this and you leave the weightier matters? There are things we call weightier things of the spirit. They want to do certain things and they leave weightier things. Another sign you know about religious people is that they teach, they talk, they preach what they don't practice. Religious spirit makes people, they teach love, they don't practice love. They preach it, they talk about it, but they are not living it out. They are not practicing it. It is quite important that you understand that. Religious people, they don't give room for the move of God. They quench the Holy Spirit. They quench the Holy Spirit. They don't want the Holy Spirit to move. They always want to be in control. Go and look at religious people. Religious people does not want God to be in control. They want to be in control. They will not allow in their services, in their Christian life, they will not allow the Holy Spirit to be the one controlling. They will want to control. So religious spirit is a controlling spirit. And in such place, in such life, God is not found. The Spirit of the Lord is not found. Religious spirit or religious people are fault finders. Anywhere you see people who are religious, mommy, do you mean, are you listening to me? They are fault finders. They find fault. Ah, this one is like this. This one is the. They find fault. They themselves, what they are finding fault with you about, they are the criminals of those things. They commit them. That is the reason when they brought the woman caught in the act of adultery, Jesus was writing. By the time he lifted his eyes up, he knew those who brought her were religious people. He said, any of you that has not committed anything, let him first be the one to pick a stone and stone this woman. Anytime you are stoning people, anytime you are criticizing people, you are condemning people, you are religious. Because, see, when you know that you yourself, you need the help of the Lord, you won't have time condemning anybody. So religious people think they are okay. They have arrived. They are saint. So everybody around them is a sinner. Religious people will be able to quickly identify to you, he's a sinner. She's a sinner. So they are fault finders. That is what Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 and 2, that's what it says. Also take note, religious people are burden givers. They add burden to other people's life. They don't want to share your burden, man. When you see religious people around, when something is happening to you now that is challenging, they will say it's because you have committed sin. That is why it is happening to you. They will go and announce. They can tell many people. For them to come in and pray for you and encourage you and say, how can we restore you? They won't do that. Oh, religious people, they add more burdens to the burdens of people. That's why Jesus, when he came, he was lifting burdens. Religious people, what they will not do, they will tell other people to go and do it. They won't fast. They will tell other people to fast more. May God deliver us from religious spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. You are spiritual when you can bear the burden of other people carefully. Because somebody has committed an offense, he has sinned, does not mean that you are a saint. How can you restore the person? In the spirit of meekness, in carefulness. Don't boast. Religious people boast. They boast about how many times they can pray. And I'm seeing that playing out in this generation. In social medias. Everywhere. People will be telling you, I pray 20 hours. I pray. You don't need to tell us how many hours you are praying. That's being religious. When Jesus tells us to go into our closet, to shut the door, why should you appear to people that you are praying? When he says you should appear only before your Father who is in heaven, that you are praying. When you appear before men, you are religious. You want them to know that you are super spiritual. Stop doing that. It is common now in this generation. I pray for 10 hours. God bless your heart. Go and do it in your... Don't tell us. I pray for 20 hours. I pray for 50 hours. It's between you and the Lord. Why announcing everywhere? Why making people to know that, see, I am super spiritual? Thank you, Father. And religious people, they fulfill the law of tradition. They obey the tradition of men. They don't obey the tradition of God. Religious people, they don't check. Is this thing they are asking us to do, is it in line with what Jesus has told us? If it is a pastor, a prophet, once he tells us to do it, whether it is in line with what the word of God has said or not, they don't care. They go and do it. If you are spiritual, you will check. If I'm your pastor and I tell you to do certain things, you must know whether that is what Jesus will tell you to do. Anything I ask you to do that you know Jesus will not tell you to do, don't do it. You are expected not to follow what I say, in as much it's not in alignment with what Jesus has said. But religious people, they follow like this. That's why Jesus said, leaders blind, leaders of the blind. The leaders are blind, their followers are blind, and all of them to where? To a ditch. Do you experience something tonight? I know we're about to go, we're about to pray. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, religious spirit mix their faith in Jesus with other things. Other things. If you mix it with candle, you mix it with this, you mix it with that, they say it is not bad. No, it's bad. If you are spiritual, you won't mix your faith with what the word of God has not commanded. Some people say, okay, what of Jesus? Who used the mud? And if Jesus used the mud, you can also use it once as he used it and put it in the person's eyes. Oh, yeah, go and wash. Not that you turn it to a money-making thing. When people come, they meet mud in your prayer room. When they ask for what to do, you say, okay, let me put mud. I'm praying in this mud. Because Jesus, that's religion. How many times do you see Jesus with candle sitting down? One red candle, one red. No. Anything you cannot find in Christ, then don't do it. Don't do it. That's being religious. Anything. Christ is the end of the law. Whatever Christ has done, go and do. Whatever Christ says you should do, go and do. Any other thing, you are just being merely religious. You are even putting people under demonic oppression. You are opening gates. Some people may not like this message, but it doesn't matter. This is the truth. I am destroying, we are destroying and terminating religious spirit in the body of Christ. In the land. See, many who are going here and there,
using collecting soap to bath, to do all of this, they deny Christ. They don't put their faith in Jesus. So when you are the one making people to do that, what are you saying? You are denying Christ. You are telling them, we were somewhere today preaching the gospel, and what did that young man told us? What did that young man tell us? He told us that he went with some people to Kaduna and to go and see a prophet there. And the prophet said they should dig the ground and all their prayer point, put it in the ground, isn't it? And use mortar and begin to smash it. And say, in the name of, I smash all my problem. Mortar and smash all my problem. And the same pastor or prophet now told somebody among the members there and said, just give me some money, I'm going to Abuja, and give me just 3 months or thereabout, a few moments, I will make the money and pay your money back to you. Because he believed when it comes here, when you are a believer, that you are putting your trust in Jesus, false prophet will not use you to make money. They will not also bring you under demonic oppression the more. Some of the things they tell you to do, they are things that are bringing you under demonic influence. They complicate the problem the more. I don't want to go forward from here, but I know that tonight, by the power that is in the name of Jesus, we break the power of religious spirit over everyone. In this territory, we break the power of religious spirit. In the body of Christ, we break the power of religious spirit. How can I be free from religious spirit? How can you be free from religious spirit? Turn to the Spirit of God. Turn to Jesus. Stop seeking the form. Turn to God. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Word of God. He has answers for all your problems. All that you need to know about the law, turn to the Spirit. Stop turning to the form. Build your Christian life on Christ. Ensure you have personal experience with Jesus. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 48. Luke 6, 46 to 48. Turn to Jesus. Turn to the Lord. Religious spirit will be broken. You will experience the reality of who Jesus is. Turn to the Word of God. Put your absolute faith, absolute trust, no matter what it looks like, put it in Jesus. Put it in His Word. And you will see the power of God. 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 In the name of Jesus, rise to your feet, shake yourself away from every religious spirit. I shake myself away from the power of religious spirit. Oh, that has been influencing my life, influencing my destiny, influencing my ministry, limiting me from accessing the things of the Lord. I shake myself away from you in the name of Jesus. Pray with all your heart. Shelebere bakata tata nabaya. Randa balaga da balara koto zegedia. Shende belebera dada. Kopa papa laga debedia. Randa balakata zegedia. Reshe de belegedia. Razada balakata ya. Pray the religious spirit. Lose your hold. Lose your power. Lose your influence upon my life. Pray with all your heart, sir. Pray for power to live according to the spirit, not according to the flesh. Oh, pelarande bele barabaya lagadabaya. Shede belege da balarabaya dia. Oh, tenso deba. Laragada balaragadabadia. Oh, shembele bedabedia. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Spiritual law is fulfilled in Christ. And that one law is this: love. Do you know our problems today? We are so religious that we have lost love. That's one of the signs to know that you are not spiritual. God is love. If I can't love, if there is no love in me, the test of your spirituality or you are being religious is love. Love. Loving the unlovable. You don't just love people because of what you want to get from them. That's religion. You love people because there is a lover living inside of you who does not hate anyone. He doesn't hate anybody. Anytime there is hatred in your heart, religious spirit is at work in you. You love. When people injure you, you still love. You don't have the capacity, but Christ has the capacity if he's living in you. He can love through you. He can love those who cannot be loved through you. I still told my wife recently, we were talking yesterday, I can hate the spirit of people, but I cannot hate the people, because the law of Christ is love. No matter what people are doing, even when they are attacking you, hate that spirit of attack. Bind it. Come against it. Let the people know, if it is possible, that the spirit that is working in you is not the spirit of God. But do that with the heart of love for the people, for the person. Don't hate somebody. Don't hate anyone. It is religious. Hating people and claiming that you are a Christian. Why is it that we can't operate with one another? Why is it that we can't do things together? Why is it that the body of Christ now, this denomination is attacking this denomination, and we are serving the same Jesus? How correct is that? I want you to command the yoke of religious spirit to be destroyed in the body of Christ, to be destroyed over our lives, to be destroyed in our family, to be destroyed, to be destroyed, to be destroyed, to be destroyed. Oh, kebela baramba ya la baradia. Aya gada bala kototo tetetelebedia. Now go ahead and turn to the Lord. Lord, I turn to you. Every veil, every religious veil covering my eyes, covering my heart, Lord, take it away. Now, 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 now. Redebemba bababa. Every religious veil. Lord, take it away. I turn to you, Jesus. I turn to you, Holy Spirit. Take it away. Father, thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus mighty name, we have prayed. Tonight, as you go, from tonight, religious spirit loses power upon your life. There are many today that they are serving the God they don't know. They don't know that they are just serving the God. When some people are talking about God before you, they will confuse themselves, quote scriptures up and down, here, upside down, conflicting things. Sometimes I'll just be looking like this. Apostle Paul got to a place, he saw an inscription in that town, in that city, and the inscription says, to an unknown God. And Apostle Paul said, why do you serve the God you don't know? We serve the God we know. Acts 17:28. For it is in him we live. It is in him we move. It is in him we have our being. How can I serve the God that I don't know?
that God I don't have a personal relationship with, that God that people are just telling me about, how can I serve an unknown God? From today, I break that spirit. I come against that spirit. I destroy that yoke of serving an unknown Jesus, of serving an unknown Jesus, of serving an unknown Jesus, of serving an unknown Jesus. That veil barricading you, I command that veil to be taken away now. Some of the people that will listen to this message later, don't be afraid of what anybody will say. There are certain things, certain denominations you have found yourself that are not promoting Christ. You need to renounce and go and look for Christ. Don't stay in a place because that is where you were born to. No, if Christ is not there, sir, you are going nowhere. You are in religion. I see people just serving the unknown God. That's over from tonight. That's over from tonight. That's over from tonight. I want you to pray this prayer finally before I let you go. You know, tonight we are drawing on Jesus directly, eating the flesh of Jesus directly, drinking his blood directly. I bring you back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5. Having the form of godliness, denying the power. I want you to pray. I have the godliness. From tonight, I manifest the power of Jesus over sickness. I manifest the power. There is Jesus inside of me. God is living inside of me. I cannot be deceived. I don't have the form. I have God. I have the Spirit of God. I manifest Jesus. I manifest the power of God over demons, over curses, over the power of darkness. I manifest the power. The power, the power, the power, the power of the Lord Jesus over sickness, over sin, over the flesh. I manifest the power. Oh, Sante Kepele Barabayad. I manifest the power. I manifest the power. Thank you, Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Please stretch your hand to the altar in the name of Jesus. I decree tonight, by the word of God you have received, the spirit of godliness takes over you. Reside in you. That's the spirit of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. From tonight, you are not carrying a form of godliness anymore. You become a godly woman, a godly man, a godly son, a godly daughter, a godly pastor, a godly disciple, a godly sister, a godly brother. You will begin to manifest the power of godliness wherever you appear. From tonight, anywhere you go, the power of God inside of you shall be showing forth. Shall be showing forth. Shall be showing forth. Shall be showing forth. Every barrier between you and your relationship with Jesus is taken away now. From now, no more veil in your hearts. No more religious veil in your hearts. Go and know the Lord truly. Go and know the Lord experientially. Go and really know Jesus. 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 Go and manifest his power. Go and reveal his power. Go and show his power. Anyone sick under the sound of my voice, in the name of Jesus, be healed right now. Thank you, Heavenly Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, it is done.